Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Day 148 in our year of the Bible, and day number 2 in our reading of the book of Job, which some hold to be unsurpassed in the wisdom literature and in the religious Judeo-Christian struggling with the problem of innocent suffering. Job speaks his experience. Eliphaz, Bildad, and the other guy, Zophar, they speak in platitudes. Sometimes the platitudes are good, sometimes they're bad. But the big thing about them is that even when they're right, they're wrong. You know what I mean? Like, even if they say things like, who is more, you know, righteous than the Almighty? Well, okay. I mean, yeah, like, true, but unhelpful to Job. Now there are a couple things in our reading from Eliphaz, who we think is probably the oldest, and the kind of at the beginning, almost the kindest of the so-called friends, so-called comforters of Job. Seems more, especially starts out more sort of respectful. A couple of things he says are sort of have become, idioms, slogans. Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. One of those things, man is born to trouble just as much as sparks fly upward. True. And he continues, if I was you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. Also true. It's just that that's exactly what Job, as the book goes on, that's what Job wants to do, and you'll hear about that. It's precisely that God does not respond for chapters and chapters and chapters that causes the problem, or not the problem exactly, but sort of has to do with Job's struggle. Job's struggle is not only his loss, though it is, but the seeming absence of God, even the absence of a God to like yell at and talk to. Eliphaz, do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. Okay, also true, but unhelpful. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. How dare you say that to someone who's just lost his children, right? Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Oh, you know, like, no, screw off, you know, like, yes, that's true. And sort of like the way I put it, to quote myself, in a paper I wrote, there's one kind of conversation you have in sort of wood paneled seminar rooms, right? Where you're talking about Christian theology and, you know, and like that's all true. And then there's another kind of conversation that you have, at the hospital bed, in the funeral home, right? When you're sitting with your friend, with a tear stained face. Those are two different kinds of conversations. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty is true in some important way, and it's also utterly wrong for the moment. So you can be right and then also be wrong. So that's Eliphaz. Job replies, and this is Job's sort of first reply to Eliphaz. One of the things you'll notice is, on the one hand, Job does reply, like, this quote-unquote dialogue, series of quote-unquote dialogues, especially as the book goes on, begins to read more like sort of unrelated, do you hear the bells? Unrelated monologues. So on the one hand, it's a series of dialogues, so it's not like they go back and forth. I mean, especially as the book goes on. Job says, if my miseries could be placed on the scales, it would outweigh the sand of the seas. He feels like he has been targeted by God for suffering. God's terrors are marshaled against me. He wishes, notice he says he despises his life and he loathes his life several times in the course of the book. I wish God would just kill me. Right, I wish God would just kill me now, to let loose His hand and cut off my life. Then at least I would have some rest. And then he complains. So this is only the first reply. But in verse 15, my brothers are as undependable as intermittent streams. Right, and he's right. They are undependable. On the one hand, they showed up and sat with him for 7 days. That's beautiful. That's gorgeous. They mourned with him. But man, undependable. Now Eliphaz is telling him all this crap. And he blames them for this. And something that I think are some of the best words in the scriptures. In verse 21, now you too have proved to be of no help. Talking about Eliphaz. You too have proved to be of no help. Listen to this. You see something dreadful and are afraid. Right? Eliphaz, you see something dreadful and are afraid. Why? So Job looks at the situation and recognizes in these guys that part of what's going on for them is their own desperation to find some kind of design in all of this, to find a structure that is not obvious, that is not clear, and they're afraid, and that makes them afraid, because if Job can lose everything and be innocent, then they could too. Now they know, that Job is the greatest of the men of the East. You know, so if this kind of thing is happening to the Job that they know, then it must be that the Job that they know is not the Job that they know, right? Or how about this? The Job that they know is not the true Job, that there must be some kind of sin behind him. Otherwise, what's the explanation? Now, it's Job looking for the explanation. They have to find someplace. And Job, with sort of piercing psychological insight, says, you see something dreadful and you are afraid. Man, that is, and I think that does explain a lot of people's reactions to encountering suffering. Like there is something scary about it. Anyway, verse 24, he again says, look, if I've done something wrong, you tell me what it is. You tell me what it is. Chapter 7, you hear a little bit more about how bad he's doing. My body is, I referred to it yesterday. My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. This is how bad off Job is. It's not just these incredible losses. It's also that his body itself has like turned against him. That part at the beginning where he takes a broken piece of pottery and scratches his skin with it because he's got these worms or maggots or whatever. And anyway, it's all very unattractive. Remember, O God, that my breath is but a but that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. Now, Job doesn't know if his eyes are going to see happiness again. He's thinking it's impossible, right? But that's not necessarily. But God bless him in verse 11. This is chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, I will not keep silence. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And in verse 11, 12 through like 21, he addresses God directly. Look at all the examples of the word you in this little section. You keep me under guard. You frighten me with dreams. Will you never look away from me? What have I done to you? Why have you made me your target? How have I become a burden to you? Why do you not pardon my offenses? And that kind of stuff. Or I will soon lie down in the dust. You will search for me, but I will be no more. We know that anyway, the point there is just that Job now addresses God directly, which is a good thing to do. That's what we should do. You should go talk to God, and you should tell God how you feel. God can handle your anger. It's okay. You're allowed to be angry with God, and you're allowed to tell God that you're angry. You're allowed, but what you shouldn't do is lie to God. And it's lying to God to say, thanks for everything, and like not feel it. God knows what's going on. You can be honest with him. He's not going to leave you just because you get angry at him. So go right ahead. Honesty with God is good. And you are a human being who has feelings, and you can express those feelings to God. It's okay. What Job is doing, expressing himself to God, it may be not, not the most pious language, not the language of seminar rooms, not even the language necessarily of the synagogue, right? Job's a Gentile, but you know what I'm saying? Like not the language of religious devotion, but he's being honest. And look, that's what, you can't have a relationship with someone if it doesn't involve honesty. You can't have a deep, deep relationship with God unless you're honest with God. Anyway, I've gone on about that enough. There we are. Bildad follows starting in chapter 8. And Bildad's another one. He can screw right off. That's not the language that I want to use, but it's the language that I'm going to use here. Chapter 8, verse 4. Chapter 8, verse 2. Bildad rebukes Job for talking in that way. How dare Job, accuse God of unfairness or whatever. And then in verse 4, when your children sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. Hey, Bildad, take a long walk off a short pier. How dare you, again, how dare you say something like that? That's stupid. Bildad says, if you are pure and upright, he will restore you to your prosperous state. He will rouse himself on your behalf. Again, that part, it's not wrong, right? Well, earnestly seeking God is not wrong. That's a good idea. If you're pure and upright, maybe he will rouse himself on your behalf. But of course, God has been permissively behind all of this anyway. So that's not quite true. A, B, God has perfect freedom. Whether he's going to restore you to your prosperous state or not, that's up to him. You don't know. You don't know the ultimate plan of God. You don't know. That's what makes this all so crazy and unpredictable and sort of makes us not be in control with God, that we don't know exactly how things are going to go. Screw you, Bildad. I don't like him. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. So perishes the hope of the ungodless. Screw off. Verse 20, surely God does not reject one who is blameless. He's implying that Job has been rejected and thus he can't be blameless. Again, screw right off. Chapter 9, is a second response by Job. We'll get to that tomorrow. But you can tell how I feel about this. So there we are with day 2 of Job, onwards and upwards. Let us pray. Be honest with God. Okay. Like don't be afraid to do that. God can take it. God can handle it. God isn't an idol. God is an idol that you might accidentally destroy or something, Anyway, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.